This is a lecture from the Grillo Health Information Center presentation, Aging, A Hero's Journey.
Hi, I'm Elaine Shire, and I'm delighted to be here tonight to talk with you. At some point, if you live long enough, every adult comes face to face with the appreciable effects of aging. At that time, I believe we sit at a crossroads. There are two choices before us. The choice is to become elderly, or to go one step further, to rise and blossom into a new level and form, a form that I call the elder. The elder is a person who is useful, wise, respected, and admired. They are the living example for future generations of how aging doesn't have to be scary or depressing. They present the gift of wisdom, which they give to the younger generations. Up to that point of advanced age, we have had many life cycle changes and transitions throughout our lives, growing from baby to toddler, toddler to child, child to adolescent, and adolescent to adult. None of these life cycle transitions are easy, but we pass through those without dread. All these transitions are actually celebrated and welcomed in our lives and in our culture. If an individual makes a transition to that final area in the life cycle, to the elder, it isn't as much of a physical or physiologic change as the previous ones. We really don't have a choice in making previous transitions. Our bodies do that for us. And although the body naturally ages into being elderly, that final and optional transition into elder is more of a mind, heart, and soul transition, not a physical one. Our culture tends to recognize and admire physical independence and strength. This is what the previous life cycle transitions moved towards, and thus we celebrated them. We shouldn't forget to recognize and admire the amazing value, however, of wisdom and knowledge. Our culture needs to remind itself that an elder sitting in a wheelchair sometimes has abilities that an Olympic athlete lacks. I was so blessed to spend my childhood in the close presence of my grandparents and my great-grandparents. My grandmother was an amazing woman. I could easily say that I want to be just like her when I grow up. She had been greatly influenced by her mother, who was mentally young until the day she died. Whether it was this example or genetics, I don't know, but my grandmother was exactly the same way. I was fortunate enough to have her in my life until she reached the age of 101. She was mentally sharp until her passing, and she definitely served as an elder to our family. Of course, she experienced the normal processes of aging, but she remained active, involved, and a great bearer of wisdom to our family until her death. She was someone I loved to talk to and frequently consulted. When she moved from independently living in her own home into an assisted living facility at age 97, she gave me a sofa that had been hers for decades. Although she has been gone from my life for quite some time now, I still find myself sitting on that couch from time to time, discussing my problems and worries with her memory. I recall when my aunt passed away. After her death, the attorney who was managing her estate was having trouble figuring out the taxes for the division of her estate. At age 95, my grandmother figured her own taxes that year, as she had every year before, and she also figured the taxes for the attorney, and she did it properly. I don't think that I could do that, and I think there are some Olympic athletes who would have trouble doing that as well. So my grandmother's example of strength, independence, and confidence, while simultaneously growing older, left a lifelong impression on me and was a great force that compelled me to want to care for senior patients. As a physician, I want to help our aging seniors make that transition from elderly to elder. While caring for geriatric patients, I definitely see examples of both. I have thought about what the secret ingredient is that enables a person to transition into an elder in our culture. Looking at my grandmother's example, which, by the way, my mother is also following, I'm sure that seeing her mother and how she dealt with aging had to help. However, I also think the culture within an individual family and also the culture in the medical system has a great amount to do with it. Both of the two latter factors, family and medical care providers, need to provide a similar thread of respect and support, which leads to empowerment. I believe that when seniors feel useful, respected, independent, accepted, and heard, they are nurtured toward that metamorphosis to elder. I believe that there are three key elements in the doctor-patient relationship that empower my senior patients: education, communication, and non-judgment. As far as education goes, when the medical system doesn't properly educate our senior patients, it takes a paternalistic role, which makes seniors feel disempowered and helpless, in other words, elderly. I believe my role as a physician is to be as much an educator as I am scientist. I am the only child of two K through 12 public school teachers, and ironically, as a teenager, I told my parents I had no wishes to go into education. Instead, I was going to do something different. I was going to be a doctor. Well, I took a medical path, and to my surprise, it led me full circle. I became an educator with initials behind my name. I try to do my very best to educate my senior patients about whatever illnesses they're facing. I want them to understand what the medical options are for treatment, or in some cases, if it's their choice for not treating them. I believe that when I educate my senior patients, I empower them to make decisions which helps them maintain their independence and feeling of value. Communication or listening is key. When the medical system fails to communicate or to hear our patients, the system can contribute to seniors feeling hopeless, frustrated, and having lack of control. This is not good. Communication is absolutely key, both with the patient and with their family. The more we as the medical profession listen to our patients and their families, the more we know who they are and what they want. We can hear their fears, their wishes, and their vulnerability. It's so empowering to be heard and understood. Listening to our patients is the meditation of medicine. Non-judgment. When a medical provider is judgmental by trying to drive a patient's care by following their own beliefs or values, I believe they increase the vulnerability of their patients, to say the least. It's difficult to feel empowered, independent, and useful when they're trying to be told what they should do and what they should believe, and when that doesn't resonate with their own beliefs and maybe even physical capabilities, they feel like a failure. I believe that it's imperative that I practice non-judgment. I try hard to compartmentalize my own opinions about what decision I would make for myself in the same situation. In that instance, I have to remember it's not about me, it's about them. In fact, as a part of most of my discussions with patients and families, I tell them what the options are for care, which option has the greatest likelihood of success, the pros and cons of the treatment. And after that, I add, and you're the boss. Tell me what you'd like to do, and I'm on it. Unless specifically asked, I don't tell them what I would do if I were the patient. The medical provider empowers their patient by holding a respect of their right and their wish to make decisions that resonate with who they are and what they believe. Remember, vulnerability, which we all have, plus support equals wellness, and vulnerability plus stress equals illness. Aging is not a disease, nor is it a failure. It's a part of that life cycle that comes with changes that we don't always welcome, but also gifts we could not have gotten from any other source. Aging also enables us to give gifts we otherwise wouldn't be able to give. My father is a perfect example of the secret gifts a person can deliver as they age. He's also a living testament to the fact that a person doesn't have to have extraordinary resilience to the process of aging in order to take the position of elder, like my grandmother did. In 2007, my father was running his own business after he had retired from teaching school for 34 years. In the spring of that year, he began to have issues with his memory. By October of that year, I moved him to Colorado because his dementia had progressed at such a rapid rate that he was no longer able to live at home with my mother. My parents lived in a small rural area, and there were no care facilities that were able to take him. Of course, moving my father to Colorado wasn't under the circumstances that any of us would have chosen. I would, of course, have preferred that he be able to play ball with his two grandsons and enjoy relatively good health. But my dad's presence has also been a great gift to us all. Through the course of his illness, it has been an honor to be the person responsible for his care and his well-being. He has taught my children to know comfort in the presence of seniors, to accept aging at whatever rate it presents itself, to value and cherish every day, and we do that so much more now than we did before. And that a person can have dignity and importance to others no matter what their state of health or independence. He has walked hand in hand beside me while I have learned firsthand the Kubler-Ross stages of loss and smiled at me until I reached the acceptance stage. He has taught me gently more compassion and understanding as a doctor through experiencing illness and loss on a daily basis as a family member, not just a doctor. I know at first you would say that a person with severe dementia, who actually can no longer even speak, could not possibly fulfill the role as an elder. But when I explain the teachings he has given us, you can see it's quite possible. I would say that my father has been one of the greatest teachers in my life, always has been, and always will be. And the lessons he has taught me and my two sons has amazing, life-changing value to us. So in summary, I believe that it is the heart, that exquisite kindness and unconditional acceptance on the part of the family and the medical system, that can help facilitate each and every one of our seniors into that metamorphosis of becoming an elder. And through a focus on education, communication, non-judgment, medical providers working with patients and their families can empower seniors to make decisions that resonate with who they are, what they believe, and what their bodies are capable of. In doing so, we protect these brave bearers of wisdom from feeling fearful and hopeless in order to fulfill the role of becoming an elder. Thank you.
I'm Shelley Schlender. I recorded this on behalf of the Grillo Center and KGNU Boulder, Denver. Find more lectures like these at their website,